You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper.
And I'm Carolyn Nelson.
And we're coming to you from somewhere in the great state of Arizona. Have you read the Spotlight's latest edition, folks? They are now saying that someone is proclaiming that Treasurygate is a fraud. Well, folks, Spotlight hasn't got the guts to tell you that they know it's a fraud. I told you months ago it's a fraud, and so's this Roy Schlesinger thing. The Department of Treasury has not purchased the Federal Reserve, ladies and gentlemen. The Department of Treasury is a part of the Federal Reserve through the International Monetary Fund from the Treaty of Bretton Woods and all these stories that you're hearing. And all of you that are paying money to get in on this promised return of millions, if you just give them $300 and your signature. Oh, sheeple. Sometimes I have no hope for you whatsoever. Former President Bush has been awarded an honorary knighthood, the highest honor Britain can bestow on a foreigner. The Foreign Office announced on November 29th he received the Knight Grand Cross of the Order of the Bath, the rarely awarded top order of knighthoods. The only other American to receive the award since World War II was former U.S. President Ronald Reagan. I'm going to get your attention now, I guarantee it. In an amazing court case involving the income tax, a Chattanoogan jury agreed with the argument by the defendant that the income tax is actually not applicable and only applies to certain classes of people. How do you like that, sheeple? All you people have been telling me that I'm crazy, I'm going to go to jail. I'm not a taxpayer, legally, under the law. And all you stupid idiots that pay out 30% of your income every year to income taxes when you don't have to, I feel sorry for you, especially if you're trying to make ends meet and find that you can't. That would have done it for you, wouldn't it? Nationally prominent attorney Lowell Burrap of Huntsville, Alabama, assisted by attorney Russell L. Leonard of Sewanee, Tennessee, defended Lloyd R. Long of Dechard, Tennessee, who was charged by the Internal Revenue Service with willful failure to file income tax returns for the years 1989 and 1990. You have no idea how good this makes me feel, folks. You know, it's only one of tens of thousands of cases I could be reading to you now. In presenting the case for the Internal Revenue Service, Assistant U.S. Attorney Curtis Collier, assisted by Special Agent Michael Yeasley of the IRS, the government declared that Mr. Long had gross income in excess of $49,000 for each of the years 1989 and 1990, and that he had willfully failed to file income tax returns for those years as, quote, required by law, unquote. They lie a lot. The defense admitted that Mr. Long did, in fact, have income in excess of $49,000 for each of the years in question, and that he did not file a return. He then proceeded to prove to the jury beyond a reasonable doubt that he was not liable for an income tax, nor was he required by law to file. Defense testimony showed a case titled Bruchhaber versus Union Pacific Railroad, wherein it was the unanimous decision of the United States Supreme Court that the 16th Amendment did not give Congress any new power to tax any new subjects. It merely tried to simplify the way in which the tax was imposed. It also showed that the income tax was in fact an excise tax on corporate privileges and privileged occupations. Corporate privileges and privileged occupations. The defense then brought out a case entitled Flint versus Stone Tracy, wherein an excise tax was defined as tax being laid upon the manufacture, sale, and consumption of commodities within the country, upon licenses to pursue certain occupations, and upon corporate privileges. Long's attorneys also brought out a case entitled Sims versus Aarons, wherein the court ruled that the income tax was neither a property tax nor a tax upon occupations of common right, but was an excise tax. The defense then brought out a case entitled Redfield versus Fisher, wherein the court ruled that the individual, unlike the corporation, cannot be taxed for the mere privilege of existing, but that the individual's right to live and own property was a natural right upon which an excise cannot be imposed. The defense also pointed to a couple of studies done by the Congressional Research Service that shows the income tax is an excise. Next, defense pointed out that in Tennessee Supreme Court case Jack Cole versus Commissioner, the court ruled that citizens are entitled by right to income or earnings, and that that right could not be taxed as a privilege. And in another Tennessee Supreme Court case, Corn versus Fort, the court ruled that individuals have a right to combine their activities as partnerships, and that this is a natural right, independent and antecedent of government. The prosecution did not challenge or attempt to refute any of the cases cited or the conclusions of the courts. Defense brought out in testimony the fact that nowhere the entire Internal Revenue Code was anyone actually made liable for the income tax. They showed that in the IRS's own Privacy Act notice, only three sections were cited, and that none of these sections made anyone liable for the tax. They also proved that this was not an oversight by showing that the alcohol tax was worded so clearly that no one could misinterpret who was made liable for the alcohol tax. Prosecution did not challenge or attempt to refute this point, nor were they able to show a statute that made anyone liable for the income tax. They were unable to produce a law or statute or even a regulation that made anyone liable for the income tax. Sheeple. Defense then presented the mission statement of the Internal Revenue Service stating that the income tax relied upon, quote, voluntary compliance, unquote. Exactly what I've been telling you. and a statement from the head of the Alcohol and Tobacco Tax Division of the Internal Revenue Service, which in essence showed that the income tax is 100% voluntary as opposed to the alcohol tax, which is 100% enforced. Mr. Long stated that in 1988 he knew that the income tax was in fact an excise tax, and that he was not enjoying any corporate privileges nor engaged in any privileged occupation, and that income or earnings from the exercise of common right could not be taxed as an excise or otherwise. And that nowhere in the Internal Revenue Code was he made liable for the tax, and that the income tax was voluntary. But Mr. Long was still so intimidated by the Internal Revenue Service that he filed and paid his voluntary assessment out of sheer fear. He then began a series of letters to the IRS explaining that he had no licenses or privileges issued to him by the federal government. He asked for direct answers to simple questions such as, quote, am I required to file federal income tax returns, unquote, and, quote, am I liable for federal income taxes, unquote. The Internal Revenue Service never gave a direct answer to any of his questions. Instead, they inferred and insinuated and extrapolated and beat around the bush and generally avoided answering under the color of law. So Long testified that he decided to stop volunteering, which he promptly did. The IRS brought in two expert witnesses. Both were actually IRS employees who had received training as professional witnesses. Upon cross-examination by DeCraft, one witness, a Mrs. Jew, stated that a secret code known only to the IRS and encoded on Mr. Long's permanent record showed that the IRS knew that he was not required to mail or file a return. Mrs. Yu made every effort to avoid this admission to the point that she was beginning to frustrate the jury. The other witnesses, upon cross-examined by Mr. Beecraft, gave testimony that conflicted with the Privacy Act notice. The government also attempted to insinuate guilt by association in that they claimed Mr. Long had known and relied upon persons of questionable character. What does that mean, folks? Do you know that if the government wants to, they can call you a person of questionable character? They argued that the writers of some of the books he read and people he knew had been convicted of tax-related charges in the past and were, in fact, criminals. Mr. Long responded that just because a person had been convicted of a crime by a court, this did not invalidate everything he said. To illustrate his point, he pointed out that the Apostle Paul was a murderer, but that by the grace of God he became the greatest of the apostles. He added that he, Mr. Long, did not rely on anything that he did not personally check out thoroughly. In summation, Mr. Beecraft reminded them that Galileo was imprisoned for holding a belief that conflicted with what everyone else knew as a fact, and that Columbus, acting on a belief which conflicted with what everyone else knew as a fact, discovered something no one else thought even existed. The jury agreed with the defense by finding Mr. Long not guilty on all counts. They have ventured into hitherto uncharted territory in their monumental decision, and that's not true, folks. That's not true. Non-taxpayers, patriots, people who understand and know the law, non-sheeple, real people have been winning their cases in court across this country, but you will never see it. And the New World Order controlled news media, and that's why you had better get off your butts and buy Gannett stock now, GCI. The New York Stock Exchange symbol. Do it now. Those who got in the beginning have already made profits, folks. Sheeple. And those of you that are just plain stupid, turn off your radio. You shouldn't even be listening to this program. A Chattanooga TV station quoted a government spokesman as saying that this case will change the way the Internal Revenue Service will handle such cases in the future. And I bet it will. They indicated that they, the government, will be less likely to prosecute if a jury isn't going to decide in their favor. Mr. Long's spirit was best expressed when he was asked for a final statement by a reporter as he was leaving the courtroom. His words, quote, to God be the glory, unquote. And I would like to second that emotion. And we have some clarifications down here. What makes this case special is the fact that Mr. Long's acquittal was not based on willfulness, as is usually the case, but on the fact that the prosecution could not produce a law that Mr. Long had allegedly violated in Internal Revenue Code Section 7203 states what the penalty is for willfully failing to file a return required by law. It does not specify which return was not filed. Amazingly, these indictments in income tax cases have not included the statute that makes the filing of an income tax return mandatory. Of course, the reason is that no such statute exists. Are you squirming in your seats? Are you counting up all the dollars you've thrown into the financial pool of the New World Order? Some of you need a good spanking. You really do. Somebody needs to put your nose in the corner. You need to sit on the stool with the dunce cap. You know, just like they used to do in the little red schoolhouse when you didn't learn your lessons. Back then you had to. There are other several aspects of this case that need to be clarified. First, contrary to what the article leads one to believe, the income tax is not voluntary. It is mandatory for those to whom the law applies. For anyone else, it is voluntary. The law only applies to non-resident aliens, foreign corporations, foreign tax-exempt organizations, and United States citizens living abroad in a country where a tax treaty exists with the United States. See 26 U.S.C. sections 1441, 1442, 1443, and 1461. Second, contrary to the article, liability for the income tax is established in section 1461 on the withholding agent. If you are not one of these people, the law does not apply to you. To verify this information for yourself, refer to Internal Revenue Code Section 7701A, Section 16, which is the definition of a withholding agent, and it will refer you to the above-mentioned code sections. Third, the article does not specify those occupations that are privileged by the government. Currently, the only privileged occupations are those involving the sale and or manufacture of alcoholic beverages, tobacco products, and firearms. The reasons why the above are true are just as important as the facts themselves. Wake up, sheeple. Wake up. And if you would like more information, contact the Save a Patriot Fellowship, P.O. Box 91, Westminster, Maryland, 21158. That's Save a Patriot Fellowship, Post Office Box 91, Westminster, Maryland, 21158. Their telephone number is 410-857-4441. That's 410-857-4441. Kaji, William Cooper, or Carolyn Nelson neither recommend nor not recommend this organization. We are referring you to them simply for information.
I want to break in here and add that there are approximately 60 million people who have D-tax and do not pay an income tax, and I'm told this is a conservative figure. I wonder how many people of the 180 million adults in America do pay income tax. You might check it out.
Well, I think we should open the phones and talk about this for a little bit. And while we're waiting for a phone call, by the way, the number is 602-333-2174. Read this other little article here. Reader's Views. This is from the Pottstown, Pennsylvania Mercury, December 7th, 1993. Wake up to One World Order threat. The time for America to wake up is now. The United Nations is a front for one world oppressive power. It will strip us of our national sovereignty and cause us to be a third world superpower with no military, excessive debt, and heavy taxation to fund its so-called peacekeeping missions throughout the world. Former President Bush was the most recent public figure to talk of a new world order. This plan to merge all nations and, of course, all its wealth has been in the making over many years. President Clinton and his sidekick Hillary are making a travesty of the United States Constitution by creating political pressure for unconstitutional programs such as mandatory health care insurance, children's rights, and the NAFTA Treaty. The one-worlders care little about you or I. They have one objective, and that is to bring all the wealth and power to the top. Look on the back of your dollar bill and see for yourself. The Illuminati have been at work almost 200 years promoting anti-Christian and anti-family doctrines. They believe a utopia can be achieved here on Earth, in which government run by a selected few will dictate and control the masses of the world. This is exactly the plan of a one-world, New World Order followers such as Bill Clinton and his White House cabinet.
Remember, we did not stand up at Waco. We did not stand up as Americans at the Washington Project 93. We can stand up together by detaxing and by buying shares in Gannett.
So we can take the media back. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Cooper.
Oh, go away, little puke face. She's from the Terra organization in Los Angeles. Ladies and gentlemen, she worships Maitreya. We don't. That's the same woman who called in the other day alleging that we were cheating you out of all your money and that Swiss America Trading is sending all the money to the New World Order in Switzerland.
And that I'm irresponsible.
Yeah. So anytime she calls, we'll just dump her right down the sewer where she belongs. Good evening. You're on the air.
It's a shame that your program is on as late as it is. Most of the time I'm working, but this particular night I'm off tomorrow, so I had a chance to listen to you.
Wonderful.
You just read a case or read a news report or an account of a tax protester or a non-teller, non-payer?
Not a protester.
Okay.
Legally not required to pay taxes under the law.
Okay, I stand corrected.
Just a regular person like you and me that all of a sudden discovered what the real law really is.
Well, my question is, was that the source of the item? Because I'd like to obtain a copy of it. Was it over the AP wire? Was it from a local paper? Do you know where it came from?
No, this is from Tennessee, Chattanooga, Tennessee, October 14th, 1993. And we're called to save a Patriot Fellowship, and they should be able to give you the, I imagine it's the Chattanooga paper.
Okay, local in Tennessee, then.
Yeah.
And
you'll never see this kind of thing on national news, ever.
Well, yeah.
All you'll see is that they busted tax protesters, and they don't even tell you that they didn't charge them with anything, and that they never go to trial and they never go to jail. It's all show to scare the rest of you and to make it sure that you pay your taxes, and they only do it at the end of the year around tax time. Between now and April the 15th, you can see more of this stuff. After April 15th, you won't see any more until the following year.
I have a feeling you're right about that.
And this is true until we get more control in Gannett and get the news out.
Well, I'll tell you, most of the people I think need to be hearing this are right now sleeping because
that's right.
They got to be up tomorrow.
Well, I can't help that. We can only take the radio time that is allotted to us.
That is true.
Can I add here that you can purchase a digital synthesized shortwave radio with a tape recorder now? And you can time it. You can place it on a timer and listen to it the next day.
I'll tell you, the technique I use, I have a VCR. And, of course, on a VCR, you can, on one tape, get up to, well, depending on the model, up to 6 hours of recording time. And being somewhat handy in electronics, I've managed to build a little interface between the audio input on the VCR and my radio. So if, you know, I want to record something that maybe runs 2 hours, with a cassette tape, sometimes it's a problem because generally you can only get about an hour on a side, and even those tapes are somewhat touchy in a recorder. But with a VCR, you just set the timer to turn on when the program comes on. My particular radio has a timer on it, so it comes on at a particular time. Both are synced up, and I can record a program, you know, while I'm sleeping.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't have much sympathy for anybody. I work all day, too. I get up in the morning. I work all day. Then I have to come in the studio and do this program. And if I can take the time to work all day and come here and do the program and people want to save their country, they can damn sure either stay up and listen to it or they can make arrangements to record it or they can order the tapes. I'm not interested in excuses.
I might add here that you must remember that we in America are at war. And when you are at war, as in the 40s, you work 7 days a week, 24 hours a day with a little sleep here and there. You ask people who grew up during that era who fought the war. That's what we're doing.
Okay. Well, again, I'm
glad you called.
I'm sorry?
I'm glad you called, anyway.
Me too. And like I said, your program is a very catchy theme. I'll tell you that much. And it certainly grabbed my attention.
Well, what our mission is to give you information that is normally withheld from the public. We hope to be able to awaken the sheeple, empower the people who are awakened, who are not sheeple, and hopefully save freedom, not for just this country, but for the world. If the United States falls to the New World Order, there will be no freedom anywhere.
And you can reach me almost 7 days a week, most of the time, at 1-602-333-5174. If you have any special information to share, send it along. We often use it on the air.
Well, consider
well documented, that is.
Well, great. Consider me a person who has just woken up, figuratively speaking.
Okay. Thank you for calling.
Good night.
Good night. 602-333-2174 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill?
Yes.
This is Tom in Fort Worth.
Sounds like you're playing football with your phone.
No, I have a speakerphone on.
Okay.
Listen, that case that you read.
Yes.
I think that's U.S. versus Long.
Yes.
And that is a landmark case. And myself and six other people have ordered that case. That's about a $2,000 transcript.
Uh-huh.
So as soon as I get it, if you want, I'll send you a copy of it. It is going to revolutionize the way honest people go to court against these people. In fact, with this case, I think if you let them know that you know this case, they'll probably leave you alone.
Well, they've left me alone all this time because without this case.
Well,
I'm not going to go into all that, but anyway.
It's always a paperwork blizzard between yourself and them, asking them the questions and setting up your defense just in case they move against you. But with this case here, and if you know the law, it totally diffuses them. And if you would like, I'll send you the case when I get it.
Would love it. Absolutely love it.
Okay. Well, look, I'll let you go to another caller and keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And sounds like you're doing some pretty good work yourself, my friend. 602-333-2174 is the number. And remember, for the rest of the night and day when we're not on the air, this is our fax number. If you ever care to fax us anything, we're always ready and willing to take anything that anybody wants to send our way. First thing we do is determine whether it's disinformation or whether it's the truth or whether it's part truth and part false. We sift it out. We analyze it. And it goes into one of the puzzles. It's either part of the deception, it's part of the truth, or if we don't know, it goes in a box with a question mark until we find out. And we always eventually find out, folks. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Cooper. It's a pleasure to speak to you.
Thank you.
Say, in Rockford, Illinois, they're working for us. We have an alderwoman here working on banning assault weapons. And last night they had a city council meeting, and many patriots showed up for that meeting and just sort of humiliated the woman and all her backups who are with her.
Wonderful.
And it was really quite a show. It sure beat going to the movies.
Did anybody tape record it?
Several of the TV stations did. I didn't personally.
See if you can find out if anybody tape recorded it and send it to us, and we'll play it on the air. I love to see these people just run right out of town.
It was fabulous. These people were just so humiliated, you wouldn't believe it. There were so many gun rights people showed up that there was no room in the room in the city council chambers. And they just plain closed off the elevator so you couldn't get up there about 10, 15 minutes before the meeting even began. And then it was standing room only, elbow to elbow. It was fabulous.
Wonderful. Will you do that? Try to find somebody who tape recorded it and send us a copy of that tape?
I'll sure try. Another couple of things I wondered about. Last week in Milwaukee when the airplane exploded on the tarmac, a friend of mine brought up that he thought it was rather odd that most of the guys who were killed in that were quite high up in rank and thought it was rather odd that they would all be in the same place at the same time doing a routine refueling and all that stuff.
Well, I heard it was the ground crew.
I heard, well, yeah, but I,
you know,
that all the men were pretty high up in rank.
What do you mean high up?
Well, they weren't just privates and just normal
Well, people who have the necessary training and experience to be able to work on modern aircraft are never just privates.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not real familiar with it. I haven't been.
No, I am. I worked on B-52s and KC-135s in the Air Force, and until I knew what I was doing, I was always with a senior sergeant, believe me.
Uh-huh. There's something else I was going to ask. I'm a little nervous and forgot.
Oh, don't be nervous. I can't bite you through the phone line and wouldn't anyway.
Okay. Oh, I know what I was going to ask. In Washington, on the Project Mountain 93 march,
uh-huh.
I took a VCR camera and was filming it, and when I was filming, someone approached me and said they would be interested in a copy of my tape that they were going to put together a little expose or something.
Guess who that was?
No, I've never heard a thing from them, and I kind of wondered if it was a plant or somebody just trying to see who I was or what.
No. Didn't you hear Liberty Lobby up at the microphone?
Kind of wondered if it was just somebody snooping in to see who I was.
Remember, I've been telling you for a long, long time who those people are. If you guys aren't smart enough to figure it out by now, you want to give them your tapes.
Okay.
Just go right ahead.
I'd never heard from them, so I just kind of was curious as to what the real lowdown was. So.
Could I add here, too, that if the traitors to our country get away with just being humiliated, that'll be really something, because there's a lot more that needs to be done to them.
Yes, I agree.
They need to be tried for treason, and then they need to be hung from a lamppost when they're convicted.
I agree.
I think we could let them voluntarily surrender and go through a jury case, and we'd consider their situation maybe slightly differently, but not too much.
I agree. Keep up the good work. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thank you for calling. Number 602-333-2174. We had a little snowfall today, expecting more tonight. Really looks Christmassy around here, folks. And I want to tell you what's wonderful about our town. On the grounds of City Hall and the police department, we have a manger scene, folks. Didn't think that could happen in America anymore, did you? In fact, there's a lot of front yards in this town that have manger scenes. And everyone goes to church on Sunday, at least most everyone. And the traditional values that made this country great are deeply ingrained into every single resident. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, I was calling about your detaxation. Could you give me a little bit more information about that? I'm not able to really listen to your program. I have to catch it second-handedly from a friend of mine.
Well, it's not my detaxation. I detaxed a long time ago, but I gave out an address and a telephone number for you to call.
Okay, could you give me that again?
I'm going to give it one more time if you don't get it this time. It's Save a Patriot Fellowship.
Uh-huh.
P.O. Box 91.
Uh-huh.
Westminster, Maryland. 21158.
21158.
Telephone is 410-857-4441. Now, whenever you call any of these organizations, folks, if an answering machine answers and says there's nobody there and asks you for your name and address and phone number, don't give it.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Talk to people, not machines.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
602-333-2174. Remember, folks, I told you cannot ever listen to this program without pencil and paper by your side all the time. And it's amazing how many people all of a sudden don't have a pencil and paper, but just have to have the information when we talk about something that involves their pocketbook. Most people don't give a damn about the Constitution, but when you talk about their money, boy, you got them all ears then, don't you? Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Will Cooper and Carolyn.
Hello.
A long time ago, there was a news story on the national news that George Bush had traced himself back, and he was actually related to...
Well, wait a minute. We did a whole show on his whole genealogy, connected him right to the Order of the Rose of Cross and the intelligence network in Great Britain through one of his ancestors named Robert Ruse.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly what I was talking about. And he seemed like as if he was proud of royalty, and I would say that since this country was anti-royal at the inception, that was an un-American act. Now, on the other hand, he is now accepting this knighthood and calling himself Sir George. Hello?
Well, he doesn't call himself Sir George, but he certainly accepted the knighthood.
Well, I mean, yeah, accepting that.
I've called him Sir George long before he ever got his knighthood.
Well, I think you were doing it, like, sarcastically.
No, I know who he is.
Oh, I see what you're
saying. I'm in it.
I understand now. Okay. Okay, well, now his boy is running for the nomination for the Republican Party in Florida, and I believe that he's actually trying to set up a dynasty all over again.
Yeah, maybe.
In his own way, and that our tax money is just as good as going to every foreign place.
You haven't been listening to this show. Your tax money goes to pay off the interest on the debt.
Well, yes.
When you send in your tax check, when you get it back, look on the back. It says pay to any Federal Reserve Bank in payment of United States obligations.
Yes. Well, I've never paid income tax. I've always been exempt. But the thing on my mind, though, was how the NATO now, they're having this double speak. And what I was talking about, the money, was the troops in Somalia and other, you know, they call them peacekeeping things. I know what they are. They're not really. But today I heard some news speak, just right out of the book. They were talking about the people that we had formed NATO to protect ourselves against are now entering into it. You see? I thought that was double speak if I'd ever heard of it.
Well, you're right, and
okay, Bill. Well, I just think that it's un-American for a president to accept a knighthood.
You're right. Not only that, but it's unconstitutional if the real 13th Amendment were still in the Constitution.
It seemed to me that's what I was thinking of. Plus, the Declaration of Independence went on and on about the King of England, and now his... I don't know.
You know, they say they took the 13th Amendment out during the Civil War.
Right.
But I had a civics class in high school,
and
it was a government high school that I went to in Japan, and we were taught the 13th Amendment was prohibition against titles of nobility when I was in high school.
And it should be. It's just un-American for.
Well, it's not there anymore. The question is, where did it go?
Well, I didn't take it out.
Me either.
I believe it. In fact, I would swear allegiance to that. All right, Bill and Carolyn, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
You know, a lot of people think I'm crazy, but I'm telling you, that's exactly what I was taught was the 13th Amendment when I was in high school, was the prohibition against titles of nobility. And I wish I could find my old civics teacher. I wish I could find my old textbook because it's written right in there. Good evening. You're on the air.
I'm on the air right now?
Yes, you are right now.
Hi, this is Paula from New Jersey.
Hi, Paula.
I had something interesting that happened on Monday night that I thought you might be interested in. As you know, President Clinton was in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania at the entitlement meeting.
Yes.
And later on, also attending that fiasco there, was Warren Redman and Paul Tsongas.
Uh-huh.
And later on that evening, at the daytime program was closed off to the public. They held some kind of lottery, and whoever got the tickets in the lottery got to go. But in the evening, Tsongas and Redman went down the road to Haverford College, and that was open to the public. That was under the guise of the Concord Coalition. Are you familiar with them?
The Concord Coalition?
Yeah.
Are we familiar with them, Carolyn? Would you like to say a few words about the Concord Coalition, Carolyn?
I do believe that I went to grade school and high school with Warren Redman, and I found out last March that he had formed this Concord Coalition. I mentioned it to Bill, and the fact that he had not rerun for the Senate again because you couldn't get anything done on the inside. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? But Bill reminded me that means we leave an empty seat for the wrong party to be in there if he's on our side. We traced it down to the fact that he has been CFR member since 1980, even after he's been out of the Senate for a year.
That's the Council on Foreign Relations, for those of you who may not recognize it.
And he joined and, of course, formed this coalition about a year ago. And Paul Volcker, I'm sorry I mispronounced it the last time as Volcker. Paul Volcker, the past head of the Federal Reserve,
right,
is on his board.
Board of Directors.
They evidently have a voluntary committee in every state in the nation. And how much can we expect that they will do to help us?
Well, let me tell you about Monday night. You're going to love this.
Great.
First of all, they announced that they had 60,000 paying members. And I, in fact, sent them my $10 because I wanted to see what they were doing. I wanted to get their literature.
Uh-huh. Send us a Xerox.
Pardon?
Send us a copy of it.
Oh, where do I get done here? I'll send you a tape of the night if you want.
Wonderful.
But in any event, they've got 60,000 paying members times $10. That doesn't leave you with a real big budget. They're traveling all over the country getting these sessions. They've done 30 of them already. And they travel around with a clock that they paid $25,000 for that shows the debt ticking off every second.
Uh-huh.
In addition to that, their aim is to have offices in every voting district across the country.
Sure.
So if you just look at it from that level, it's obvious that they don't have a budget big enough to support all that, so money's coming from somewhere.
Well, they don't need to, and the Federal Reserve is sitting on their board of directors.
Well, now let me tell you what happened. To recognize that where they were on Monday night is an area called the Main Line area of Philadelphia, and it's all old money.
Mm-hmm.
This program took place at Haverford College, which is an all-girls college in an old money town. So the audience was very, very young college individuals, and then on the opposite side was probably 50% of the audience were probably retired, and they were old money, retired people there. What he preached the whole night was basically the young versus the old, how the young have to support the old, how the old are going to have to make sacrifices with Social Security benefits and health care and paying taxes on their income. But the bottom line was he basically positioned everything to pit the young people against the old people that night.
Yes, and at the same time, Hillary Rodham Clinton is going around the country telling the world that we need to open up a dialogue on the merits of euthanasia.
Yeah, the bottom line is divide and conquer.
Yes, you
got it. We're united, they can't control us. So if they divide us and have us fighting amongst ourselves, well, at the end of their hour presentation, which was more of an entertainment show than factual, and it was too much storytelling and not enough factual telling, they had a question-answer period. So I was up on the second level. I hightailed it down. I got second in line behind that microphone. I wanted to make sure I got my chance in.
Good for you.
So I stepped up to the microphone, and I basically asked them. I said, well, earlier in your presentation, you slightly touched upon, you know, the money supply. And I said, I'd like you to comment on our need to take the coining of money and the distribution of money out of the private sector, out of the hands of the Fed, and put it back in the Congress where it belongs according to our Constitution. As I got a blank stare from him, I said, in other words, to reverse the Federal Reserve Act of 1913. The two of them, Tsongas and Rudman, did a tap dance like you won't believe. They joked around for about 5 minutes trying to figure out how to answer me. We've done 30 of these shows. We've never been asked that question. Boy, I ought to send you a dozen roses. And I was thinking to myself, you can keep the roses, just give me an answer. So I stood there patiently while they joked back and forth, and finally Tsongas got his act together and answered the question. I mean, tap dancing like you've never seen. And he answered the question basically making a joke out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Look, you know, everybody in Congress is an idiot. They can't handle money. That's why we're in debt. So why would you take it out of the private sector and give it to all these idiots in the hole? And everybody laughed, and that was it. I still stood by the microphone because I was going to ask him about, well, how about an audit? I wasn't walking away from the microphone. He went off on a tangent for 10 minutes about presidential candidates and people who show up at these things. And he kept going until I walked away from the microphone.
Well, you just had a lesson in how to ridicule good, factual, and adequate suggestions from the people. and how to control a meeting. I mean, it sounds like they did very well, but you also did very well. You had the guts to stand up there and ask the question that everybody was thinking and nobody had the guts to ask.
But I'll tell you one thing. Redmond gave me such a stare down. You know, if looks could kill, my funeral would have been yesterday, twice. I've never had anybody stare me down. It was like he was trying to memorize what my face looked like.
Uh-huh.
And my husband, who was up at the second level, he gave him a stare down, too, when I left the microphone. I mean, you just wouldn't believe the look. You would not believe it.
You know, I want you to write me a letter. Remind me of this conversation. You sound like somebody we need to be in touch with.
I also, by the way, I tape recorded the program that evening.
Uh-huh.
It actually came out pretty clear. If you'd like a copy of it, I could send you that.
Love it.
I'd like to add, I read Figge's book, Bankruptcy, 1995, last year, last March. And Warren Rudman wrote the preface, and my quarrel with the book is never in it was mentioned the fact that we should even think of abolishing the Federal Reserve. Now, wait a minute. Last March, Bill gave a comment on abolishing the Federal Reserve, and I wonder if he remembers it and would give it again about our shores.
Oh, yeah. I remember it. I think the solution to our economic and money problem is to nationalize the Federal Reserve, arrest everyone connected with it, try them for treason, and even if they get off with some light sentence, exile them from this country, declare the debt null and void by decree, and if anybody objects, send our military forces to deal with them. Our military forces.
American patriot military forces.
That's correct.
Well, I what I walked away with that night, you know, I realized that this whole thing was a fiasco. And basically, I came up with, I think, what are four rules that these people operate by. Number one, divide and conquer.
That's right. That's the way they've been controlling the masses of people in the world for thousands of years.
Right. And they're going to control these masses under the guise of, you know, fixing the deficit. Rule number two, play both sides.
That's right. Anyone who knows anything about how this economy runs and where the money comes from knows that the deficit, the debt, can never be fixed.
Of course not. Not if you put the money into the system by lending it. How do you pay back $3 when you only put $1 into the system that you lent?
That's right.
And I think that rule number three is something that they keep in mind, which is that desperate people do desperate things, which makes necessary rule number four, achievement by deceit. So that if you keep the people in the dark, that's how you achieve your goals, and you make sure that people don't get desperate and rear up against you.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I want to thank you for calling. We've got to move on, but I want you to write me a letter. I'm going to make you a star.
Okay.
And you don't need no guitar.
Okay, that's a deal.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
602-333-2174. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello. Speak now or forever. Hold your peace. Well, I don't know what happened there. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, yeah, Bill.
Yeah.
I was listening to your the interview you did with Jonathan May in 1988 or 89.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever played that on your program?
No.
It's a good tape because it doesn't matter who the players are and what the names are. Is he still in prison?
No, he's out now and doing some very foolish things.
Well, I think we all do from time to time. But
well, I'm looking for him to be right back in if he don't knock it off.
Yeah. I think what's so important about that, the more I've listened to it, they made a bushel of them and given them out to several people, simply because he's got the basics of it down so close.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter whether it's coffee or whether it's wheat or whether it's sugar beets or whether it's cows.
Or gold or silver.
Or gold or silver.
It must be a commodity that backs the monetary system of any country.
Exactly. And I know there's some problems that most people that know something is wrong have with each other, it seems like. And I'd like to see a lot of that stop, because I've been involved in this like you have for several years. And it kind of saddens me to see so many people chewing at each other rather than chewing on the enemy.
You know, if you're referring to our position on certain people on this program, they are the enemy. You just don't know it yet. We've proven it. We know it. We know who the enemy is.
Well, I know a lot of the people that that you're talking about, and
Bobo Gritz is the enemy.
Yeah, well.
Tom Valentine is the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
The Liberty Lobby is the enemy.
Well, I know there's a lot of problems with Willis Carto, and I know a lot of people that have
it's the old Nazi party in disguise.
And so on. But what I'm saying is the thing about Jonathan May and the rules of the game as he lays them out, I think are so succinct. And if there's any corrections in there that you know of, go ahead and insert them as corrections. And I think a lot of people would be very interested in that.
Tell you the truth, I haven't listened to it for at least a couple of years. In fact, I don't even know where it is, but I'll look for it and dig it out and listen to it. And if it's applicable to today, I'll play it on the air.
Yeah, and like I say, refresh your memory on it because, and again, I don't know whether or not he's telling the truth as to what his background was and so on and so forth.
Uh-huh.
But if you watch The Manchurian Candidate, you know that movie?
Oh, yeah.
All of a sudden, I started seeing a lot of that stuff around. When I first saw it 20 years ago, I didn't know what I was watching, of course.
Uh-huh.
But as you watch it, you watch all these gunmen that are going out now, the guy in Long Island.
Did you read my book?
Yes, I have.
Do you know that I predicted all that was going to happen long before the first incident?
And I think when you watch The Manchurian Candidate again, and you can get it at a lot of the video stores, you start seeing that what the guy that's playing the Russian brainwashing guy, when he says the one thing that Americans have is the guilt complex.
Yeah.
That's what they always give themselves away on.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people do things and they don't know what they're doing.
Do you remember the Sibianese Liberation Army?
Absolutely.
That kidnapped Patty Hearst?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that the leader of the Sibianese Liberation Army was part of a brainwashing experiment, mind control experiment conducted on prisoners in California state prisons?
Well, absolutely. Well, this is what you have with the Cult Awareness Network also,
mm-hmm.
and these various groups and so on and so forth.
The Cult Awareness Network is extremely dangerous organization, and so is the ADL.
Absolutely.
Now, I'm not talking about Jews. I'm talking about the ADL. They're dangerous. They're an agent of a foreign power. They're a non-registered agent of a foreign power. They have committed atrocious crimes. They spy on Americans, American groups, American organizations. They have committed crimes, I believe, cannot prove, but I believe that they probably committed murder, and are funneling information from this country to Israel, and they're supposed to be American citizens. They're nothing but scum in disguise.
Well, you know, I've got the documentation where in Phoenix here, they did have a radio talk show host by simply because he... And the guy that was on there that had this doesn't know anything, the talk show host. He didn't know anything. He just said, look, this sounds like an interesting topic. And because he had him on, and it's probably someone you wouldn't agree with, but that's irrelevant in the sense that he had the courage to put him on the air for 2 hours on a major AM radio station here. And I've got the letters from Joel Bresham to the management, the producer of that radio station, saying exactly what they were going to do, and lo and behold, it happened.
Yeah.
It's just fascinating.
Well, it's a terrible thing. I disagree with a lot of people, but I would never, ever, ever try to silence anyone.
Yeah, it's what it is said that, you know, I may not agree with what you say, but I'll defend to the death your right to say it.
That's right. If I silence the man down in the corner that's standing on his soapbox screaming things that I can't even stand to hear, then I'm also silencing myself ultimately.
If you saw Jerry Spence when he was on the NBC program Now with Tom Brokaw,
uh-huh. Got
the initial program on it, and when he looked at Tom Brokaw and he said, you know, he may not have beliefs that you or I have, but when he doesn't have his, you and I don't have ours.
That's absolutely correct.
And Tom Spence spent about 4 hours with Tom Brokaw on that thing altogether, and he was physically shaken.
Yeah.
Visibly shaken by the revelations that Jerry Spence had for him.
Uh-huh.
Well, anyway, go review that tape with Jonathan May because it's an integrating tape, I think. And I think there's some good information in there that could probably be brought out.
I will. I'll dig it out and listen to it.
Okay, thanks, Bill.
I want, thank you for calling. I want everybody out there to know that all the orders are gone. Everything's gone. The memberships are going out now, and they will all be out by the end of the week, just as I promised. Every single order we have is gone, out. I don't care what it is. It's all done. They're all filled. They're all gone, and we're filling every order that comes in. For instance, the mail that came in today will be filled tomorrow morning and will be out either tomorrow or the following day without fail. And we're going to do that right up until Christmas. Don't forget, we got a great sale on with hundreds of dollars off of stuff that you've all been wanting to get your hands on. So take advantage of it now, because after Christmas, we're not going to continue it, and this will not happen again. I can tell you now, and you better believe it, because if you don't, you're going to miss out on a good thing. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
And you better make it quick, because you got about 30 seconds.
Okay, I'll try to make it fast. There's a very important article in the, Fully Informed Jury Association paper for December of 92, page 128, how Uncle Sam bats 100 in IRS and political trials.
No, well, they don't. That's a lie.
It's a lie? Are you sure?
Absolutely.
Well,
it is a lie.
Are you? Can you tell me about it?
It's a lie.
Yeah, I know, but...
Tens of thousands of people all over this country have won their cases in court against the IRS.
I know, but the juries are stacked. They're stacking the juries with the selection computer. It's all explained here.
Oh, well, send me that. I didn't understand what you were saying. It sounded like you were saying they won every case that they took into court. And that's not true.
I was just giving you the title of the article. Can I read it?
No, you don't have time. We're out of time. Send us a copy of it, and we'll take a look at it. But we got to go. We're out of time.
Okay.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah.
Okay, folks. Another wonderful evening is gone by the wayside. If you're a sheeple, please wake up. If you're not a sheeple, I'm sure glad that you're not. And good night. And whoever you are and whatever you are, God bless you all. The Hour of the Time is sponsored by Swiss America Trading. If you want to make sure that you're covered in the coming economic collapse, call Swiss America Trading right now, 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. Do it now. You'll be glad that you did.